it's good to be here this morning with some of my brothers and sisters. Not all of them, but some of them here. And it's so good to have Brother Ogden and Sister June here this morning. Hallelujah. This is the first time they're here as a couple in this church, and so we appreciate them being here. And everyone else, appreciate y'all being faithful in Bible study. We've been having some excellent Bible studies. I've been learning a lot, gleaning a lot from it, and looking forward for good things this morning. And I just wanted to say how thankful I am to be here this morning and what God is doing for us. And we really need to pray for Brother and Sister Crow. I've had them on my mind, and that God would touch them and help them, the both of them. And then for Sister Elsie, I've had a burden on my heart for her, Sister Elsie Ratliff, that God would touch her and strengthen her and raise her up and continue to use her for the reaching out and the touching of her family. I'd like to see her whole family affected in such a way that they just come on in, just make a dedication, swear their own hurt and change not, and come on in and be a temple and a pillar of our God. I wish y'all would continue to pray for me. I have one more procedure to go unless God touches me. I'm really praying. right after I got out of surgery, you know how we are in here. Especially if something big happens, it's one thing if you cut your finger, but when you have somebody go into your brain and then tell you they're going to have to do the same thing on the other side, you start to ask God, are you trying to tell me something, the Lord? And I've had different people say different things, and I've talked to Brother Smith about this, and I know the Lord doesn't, he's never come down and sat on my bedside and talked to me face to face, but he talks to me in my spirit. And I just can't help but feel that through this whole time I've been praying for him, in today's vernacular, he keeps telling me, don't worry, son, I got your back. I love it. I love it when I know that the Lord has our back. So if I could use you to continue to pray for me. What other prayer requests do we have this morning?
I have asked and wrote to my mom and my boss about we get in my schedule so I can swap the meeting.
Yes.
It doesn't look like that she could work that kind of load man on the phone. So I have asked if she would let me have a Wednesday off.
Yes.
It's last day of school tomorrow. So I wish y'all would pray that she would let me have a day off.
Appreciate Sister Holly's spirit and wanting to come in and be with God's people. I appreciate that. Sister Holly, we'll pray for you. Sister Cindy.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Sister Brittany, she's going to be blessed with another one here. At least we think it's just one. You just never know. Could be twins. Let's pray for her. Sister Abraham. Okay. Okay. I heard Sister Abraham about her daughter in the car. God forgive me if I don't hear real good. My hearing is not back to where it should be. I feel like it will get back to normal, but thank you for that prayer request, Sister Abraham. What? Brother Randy. Yes. Yes, thank you for that. Yeah, we've been praying every service for Sister Pat and then her family. What else do we have? Oh, Brother Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
remember that. Let's remember my wife's sister, Helen. She's really going through a difficult time with this cancer and chemotherapy. It's about knocked her down. So let's really pray that God would help her. Let's pray, too, for we have a meeting coming up in a month. Let's pray that God would really do something super special for this assembly. I know God's ministries is going to be coming here, and I'm so thankful they're coming here to visit us. But we need more in God. We don't have everything we need yet, but one thing God has given us by abundance is a hunger for more of Him. So let's pray when God's ministry comes here that He just fills us with good and rich and precious sayings from the Lord. So let's pray that God would make a way. It's like Sister Holly, she's praying. If there's not a way for you to come and be a servant and to participate, then pray that God would make you a way. So let's pray for this meeting coming up. What else do we have? Yes, Brother Henry, yes. All right. Yes, Sister June. I know Brother Joe is not a visitor, but look at him set it out there. He walked in. At first I thought, Brother Smith, I thought we had a preacher from the body of Christ here. He walked in and I thought, well, that's Brother Joe. It's amazing what God's done for you, brother. You're here every service. I appreciate your faithfulness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sister. Yeah, but I didn't. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm not hearing real good. I appreciate that. We will pray for Tyrone and Skyler. Glory to God. All right. Could we have if there's no more prayer requests, let's have the ushers come forward and we'll receive our tithes and our offerings. Glory to God. All right. If we could all rise, we'll take these needs and requests before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, for your mercy, God. Lord, we want to bring all these prayer requests before you, Lord. For Brother and Sister Crow, God, would you touch them? God, help them strengthen their bodies. Lord, Sister Elsie, God, touch her. Lord, raise her up, strengthen her body. Sister Pat and Sister Jenny and her family, God, cover them. Help them, Lord. God, give them your comfort, your lead, and your guidance, Lord. God, oh God, prepare our hearts, Lord, for you, Lord, and for your people coming here, Lord, in a month to be with us. Guide us, lead us, help us. Prepare our hearts, God. And all these prayer requests, Lord, we need your help. We need your touch, God. Your hand and your comfort on our lives. Glory, God, for Sister Skyler and Brother Tyrone. God, Sister Abraham, Lord, God, we need your help. Sister June, this prayer request from her, God, hallelujah. For Sister Holly, Lord, that God would make a way to use her in this meeting coming up. God, that God would give her favor with her, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your people being here today, Lord. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Well, all right. Appreciate these songs and help us get our minds girded up on the things of the Lord. Today is dinner day, and it's the day that we've been sort of on a trial basis, I guess, staying over after dinner and everybody cleaning the church, and then we've been letting you off on Sunday evening service. Just letting you have the evening off after staying over and working. I do want to stress that we really do need everybody to stay. I don't think we're actually accomplishing the deep cleaning that we intended to. This is, you know, one Sunday that I'd appreciate everyone trying to be here and do their part and prove their faithfulness in. There are exceptions, you know. Brother Fred and Sister Lynette, their business warrants that they have a booth at the fair. The biggest part of their business comes off of the fair and home shows. And so they're at the fair this weekend. Just happened to fall on this weekend. And Brother Michael's got a Edward Jones has got a booth at the fair that he has to work this weekend. So you can't always, you know, sometimes there are exceptions, but I'm just saying if at all possible, I think we are to try to come and do our part. Then we've got the meeting coming up. I mentioned in Bible study how much I appreciate the brethren to come and work and help us get ready for this meeting, the ministers' meeting, November the 12th through the 15th. There won't be sitting room in here. There will just be some chairs put out, and it'll be crowded, and we'll have the parking lots full and still looking for more space to put cars, and we'll need every, you know, buddy that we can to engage in the service of the Lord, to serve God's, not just God's people, but His ministry. I think that's a high honor that the Lord would put on this church to let us host a general ministers' meeting. I think our last one was in 2010, I believe is right. And we generally have one every 3 years. We have had them as often as two. And then I did announce at the campground a meeting next year for the Little Rock Youth Meeting. Let me give you the dates on that if we don't have it. July the, we still would have time to probably change it if it's not good dates, but it's July the 24th through the 27th. If we would have took it a week later, it would have been the 31st through August the 2nd. So I don't know that. I think some of the schools might be started by then, but anyway, right now, I put that up, and that's the 24th through the 26th of July, 2014. And then I also announced a meeting in the Dominican Republic, the 5th through the 8th of March of next year. Any of you would like to go to the Dominican Republic, that would be a good time for you to go. Then, Brother Tally, I'm sure would appreciate you turning in your rooms for, or beds for, he's already getting calls for people to asking for beds. I wished I could remember who I told this week you'd have a bed for him. It'll surely come to me. We're going to need your help, and of course you've always been faithful to help during these meetings, general meetings that we have here, and the experience of the past is proved to qualify us to continue to have them, and so just want to remind you that we're, the time's upon us. We've got, how many weeks do we have left for the meeting? 3 or 4 weeks? So how many weeks do we have? 4 weekends? Still have 4 weekends. And we'll probably schedule a work day every Saturday morning. We're just working till about noon, but we don't know when we might get rained out. Some of these work days we've got things outside we've got to do, so just kind of keep that in mind that we try to get things accomplished for the meeting. The first night, the meeting starts on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and the first service is open, so everyone will be able to attend that service. All the rest of the services are closed ministers' meetings. There will be a ladies' meeting on Wednesday. So many of the, I've been getting many, many calls about, you know, ministers' wives wanting to know, are we having a ladies' meeting? If we are, I'm coming. And so many of them are coming anticipating the ladies' meeting on Wednesday. So just wanted to keep that in your on your top shelf. Good to see Osmanique here. I was looking at him out there. It just seemed like to me it wasn't very long ago he was just about up to my knees. And now he's grown up. So, but I appreciate the fact that he still shows up around here every once in a while. That gives me a chance to work on him. See if I can get him hooked into the family of God. That's our purpose here, is to try to save people, get people to understand that you are part of God's predestinated plan. He predestinated that he would have children that would respond to him, the hope that he set before them. When you go to church, you ought to, there ought to be some hope projected to you to cause you to want to be a part of God's divine purpose, to have a family of children that have gone through a process to get sin out of their lives. One of the attributes of God is that he doesn't rejoice in iniquity. He doesn't commit iniquity. You look in the This is one of our cardinal chapters in the Bible, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Might just look at it for a few minutes. The reason I'm bringing up iniquity is I think one of the best definitions of iniquity is selfishness, self-pride. Where's the script? Before we look at that, let's look at the 119th Psalm. One of the reasons I use this scripture, or use that, is because of this scripture. Psalms 119. starts off, says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." You can almost say they don't walk in their own way. They walk in his ways. Your own way is iniquity. When, unless it harmonizes with God, when we're independent from God, when we're working in our will without trying to be led of God and follow God's instructions, that's what got Adam in trouble in the beginning. Is he was walking with the Lord in the cool of the day. That just mean there, it wasn't hot. It wasn't, there wasn't no heat or pressure put on him, because he was following instructions. He was doing the will of God, and there wasn't anything to judge him. There wasn't any heat. There wasn't any, God didn't have to purge anything out of him because he was being obedient. And, when he decided to go against God's instructions, when he determined in his mind, all of this was working in his mind. There's somewhere at some point you'll have to develop to the place in your understanding to know that. That the serpent that was talking to Eve in the garden wasn't a snake. You're going to have to develop to a place at some point to realize that symbolic language. There's a serpent nature in every one of us. There was a serpent nature in Jesus. He made this statement. He said, "If I be lifted up, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I'll draw all men unto me." Remember the story where in the wilderness the children of Israel were disobedient to God, and God sent fiery serpents to and those were real snakes. They bit them and they were poisonous and people were dying. And Moses went to God and began to petition the Lord, and the Lord said, "Well, make a brazen serpent and lift it up, set it up in the wilderness for the children of Israel to look on. And everyone that gets bitten by one of those snakes." Now God sent those snakes there to bite those people, to kill them because they were disobedient. Now he's telling Moses, when Moses is petitioning God, "Lord, would you take this plague away? Would you forgive the people for this?" He said, "Well, take a serpent, a brazen serpent." And, you know, brass in the Bible typifies the sin. It typifies the flesh. It's what it typifies. All of the instruments and furniture out in the outer court of the temple was made out of brass. That typified the flesh that out in the outer court of the God's plan of salvation, you're going to have to deal with a lot of flesh. It's not until you get in the holy place where all of the everything in there changed over to gold. And God, the Bible typifies the wisdom is more precious than gold, Solomon said in Proverbs, and more precious than silver. Knowledge and understanding is symbols of, precious metals. It's just the Bible's, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, buy of me gold tried in the fire. He wasn't talking about gold blocks or gold bricks or going out here and buying gold from gold sellers of gold. But he was saying, purchase the righteous understanding of my word, my plan that I've planned for you. Tried in the fire. In other words, it's going to have to go through a judgment process. It's going to have to go through a testing process. To get the impurities out of it. All gold's not pure, and it has to be purified. So, and he just uses those symbols to help us understand that you're in a fallen condition. You are of Adam, but you can be transformed. You can be born again, and you can become like gold. Not that's corrupted or that's impure, but I can put you through a process that'll purify you. John, he got it. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Yeah. I mean, we're singing that song today, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Well, that royal blood is the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God that you and I have been born of. It's the life source of God, that if you've been born of the Spirit, then that's typified by the blood. The Bible typifies blood as life. That's what, God wanted all those sacrifices. Really, if you didn't have very much understanding, I can see why there's some people that's never been touched of God or are atheists, because it wouldn't make a bit of sense to them to think that there's a God in heaven that just wants a bunch of animals killed and their blood offered up to him so that he would forgive man for his sins. That don't make sense, does it? That doesn't make sense. That God just would want you to go out and kill animals and just take their blood and say, God, here's an animal's blood. Now forgive me for my sins. And when I, and every time I sin, I'll kill another one and offer his blood. That seems pretty gory, and there was thousands of animals killed under the old covenant. But they had an understanding what all that was for. It had a deeper meaning than a lot of people understand today. To understand the fall, man's fall, and that there has to be some reconciliation from the fall, and that God, until the time that he can bring us back to be reconciled to him in a more perfect way, he told Moses to have them offer those sacrifices and to offer the blood, because he said the life is in the blood. that every animal, every living thing, including you and me, are alive because of our blood. That's the life source. Everything you eat goes through a digestive process, and all the anything that can be used as nutrients that the body can rebuild its life and regenerate life with is finally digested down, broke into parts, and put in the blood. Oxygen and food that carries out life to the body. It's like when I was thinking about Brother Durham's brain surgery and that doctor explaining it to us. He kind of... I think he had a pretty crude way of explaining it. He said, well, just think of a bowl of spaghetti. He said, those are the arteries going through the brain. He said, now just pour the spaghetti sauce on top of it. And he said, that's the blood. And he said, that blood is not the blood that's going through the arteries. That's the blood that's carried into the veins and vessels of the brain. Well, what he was trying to help us understand was what part of his brain was going into spasms that was causing this break of electrical waves in his brain that causes the function of the body. The brain tells the body what to do. But his brain was spasming because they traumatized it with surgery. They went in there and invaded it. And the brain went to trying to heal itself, so it was going into spasms to shut down some things so it could go through a healing process. And of course, that's what was causing Brother Durham to act nutty. He was goofy for a while. And, but it's one good thing about it, whatever was working that was making him goofy was a happy goofy. I mean, thank God he wasn't mean. he could have been like a roaring lion, but he was so kind. I mean, I don't know if Sister Durham, I think she would have got annoyed with him if he had stayed that way. But he was really kind and really overly kind. I mean, it was overkill. He was so super nice. He's nice anyway, but he was too nice. But he had all of those, those electro wave links broken, and so he would start saying something, and it wouldn't make any sense because those connections were being broke. Anyway, so the doctor was letting us know that that's not the artery that's doing that, the blood in the artery, but it's the blood in the brain that's going to the vessels and the veins that feed the whole, the vein, not just the arteries that's going through it. I may be wrong about this. It's been a long time since I've been through anatomy and biology and they go out. They actually break off like a tree trunk and go out to little, littler veins, and then finally gets into vessels. Like if you cut your skin, I'm telling you this for a reason. I mean, y'all may think, well, I wish he'd quit talking about this and tell us what he's going to say, but I want you to understand something about this. That something about God's greatness. If you cut your hand or cut your body somewhere, you're going to bleed. More than likely, you're going to hit a place where there's a blood vessel or a vein, and it's going to bleed. And these blood veins and vessels in your body are carrying nutrition to blood cells to rebuild a cell that's dying. That's why your skin, I don't know if you know this or not, but your skin sheds. There's dying cells in your skin all the time that fall off, and there's new ones that's being created by these little vessels and veins. What I want to know is how does the body know how much blood to take where? It's amazing that your body is producing new cells all the time, and it's not overproducing them, and it's not underproducing them. And it's working. All this is working. What a God. The human body is probably the most magnificent function of any apparatus. I'll just call it an apparatus that I think man knows anything about, except maybe the universe, and I'm not sure they know too as much about that as they do the human body. But the universe to me is another magnificent thing, that this little planet Earth took all of this universe and all these galaxies to make everything function just right, where it's kinetic. Is that a good word? It's kinetic, or it's, what do you call that kind of power? That perpetual. That this thing keeps going, and nobody's got it plugged into a battery anywhere. It makes its own juice as it goes. That's something amazing to me about God. We've never been able to figure out how to do that. The perpetual force is something that's unknown to man. We know that there is perpetual force, but we don't know how to create it. We don't know how to replicate it. But anyway, God is an amazing God. But this blood, let me get back on the blood just for a minute here. That God knew that what man lost that needed reconciled was the life of God, the connection to the Creator with His help, His strength, His wisdom, the understanding of righteousness. I was mentioning that this morning about my little nephew that is a lawyer, but the kind of lawyer he is not, doesn't have anything to do with civil law. He's of a different school of law, he tells me, that determines the intent of the law and looks from the intent of the law to the end of what the intent of the law would produce in its finality. And so therefore he's into helping corporations train their employees to do the right things so the corporation will be successful, and training the corporation to reward the employee for becoming a part of the team to motivate them to being a part of the success. And I thought to myself, I told him when I said that, I said, what y'all are doing is replicating God's intent, God's purpose, but you're leaving Him out. I said, it won't work. Somewhere it's going to corrupt because God's not in the deal. But God, He does want us in the part. I don't want to, I'm tempted to say His part for our part. I'm tempted in that because I don't know why my mind thinks like that. But anyway, the blood is the life of God, the Spirit of God dwelling in us, working, His nature. And there had to be a nature die. There had to be a life to this process that Jesus went through. He came here. You need to get it in your minds. You need to get this level of understanding that Jesus' red blood didn't give you the efficacy of life. His red blood was not what God was interested in. All of the red blood of those animals, all of their, what all that red blood represented was the life of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that was in Christ, that God wanted to be in you. And Jesus came here that you might have that, to reconcile you to God, that you may be born again of His Spirit. And that once He was offered up, once and for all, it ended the blood sacrifice, because He laid down as a sacrifice. Now his body, His death, His red blood being shed did represent the death and the fulfillment of the law, but you've got to understand the type there that was fulfilled at the same time with the antitype that was fulfilled in Christ, that He offered up a life of a sinless sacrifice. The Bible says where there's no sin, there's no death. Jesus didn't die under judgment of death. He gave up the ghost. He laid down His life. God took the life from Him as a sacrifice that was made for you and I, that life, finally God was able to manifest what His eternal purpose was, that you and I would be reconciled to Him by the life of Christ, so that He could give us. There's so much involved in it. Jesus was married to Israel under the law, and He could not be married to another without there be a death first. So Jesus had to die. The God of the Old Testament had to die so He could marry the church on the day of Pentecost and have a new wife, so that He could produce righteous offspring. But under the law, it was a schoolmaster. God spent 4,000 years just to get a people, the Jews, to a place that He could reconcile man back to Himself, that man could be born of God's nature, of God's Spirit. And you and I think when we were singing that song today, I thought, dear God, we're God's children by birth of the Spirit that wasn't even available a little over 2,000 years ago. It wasn't available. But today, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life. That's the Spirit of God. Freely. Somebody was telling me the other day, there ain't nothing free. Well, the forgiveness of sins is free. And God gives you the life, the nature. If you'll accept it, if you'll humble down and accept it, He'll give you life free. But eternal life, there will have to be a death. There's a process you'll have to go through to get eternal life. Jesus said, I come to give you life, and I come to give it to you more abundantly. The life was just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you're born again, you've got life. But if you're going to have the more abundant life, which is eternal life, it'll take a process to go through to achieve that. You have to follow. Let me give you something to go along with that. You can't have eternal life. You can't figure out how to follow on to know Him. You can't figure out, you know, you're going to have to let God lead you. God's going to have to lead you into unto eternal life. He's got to finish the work that He started in you. But what you can do is you can yield yourself to Him and let Him keep working in your life and keep responding to whatever He's requiring of you, because He's requiring you to grow. There's a growth that God requires for you to continue to grow in if you're going to have eternal life. He's not going to just leave you where you're at. He's going to put you through a process. CJ, stand up. Could you do that for me? Stand up there. There he is. See, now if we'd take him, put him back there on the wall, put a mark on top of the wall where his head is, the top of his head, then if he'd come back next year and let us put him up against the wall, his mark would be higher, just like Osmanique's is. We didn't put a mark for Osmanique. You can sit down now, son. But he's growing. And it's just a little at a time. You can't see him grow. Every day you could look him over good, you wouldn't see that he's grown any tomorrow from today. But if you put that mark on the wall next year, stand him up against it, you'd say, how did you get this big? Well, there's a process taking place that's causing him to grow. And if you'll keep, and the reason he's growing is because he's eating. His mama keeps bringing him to the table and giving him food. He's eating. He's got to eat to grow and develop. And for you to grow spiritually, you've got to keep eating spiritual food. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes food and water, which is the Word of God and the Spirit of God, for you to grow. And if you don't have too much of the Spirit of God, you're not growing too much. If you don't have the Word of God, you're still not growing too much. You can't live on water by itself, and you can't live on food by itself. You got to have some water to go along with it. And so the true worshipers, Jesus said, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So you got to have both. You got to have God's got to help you. If you're getting the proper food, it will produce eternal life. Now the Lord's the food. He's the food maker. You know, he's the one that's producing the food. You and I have got to. We've got to eat what God feeds us. But we are to have. You got to have a hunger. Why Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger only and thirst. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the righteousness is in God. It's in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. So, anyway, I'm just trying to help you see that this blood of Jesus really was symbolic of the Holy Ghost life. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. It's all spiritual. Jesus said, these words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. It's not just the Holy Ghost, but it's Holy Ghost anointed knowledge and understanding that finally becomes wisdom. And for you to, you've got to know something about God. You're not it's hard to, for some people to serve God if they can't understand anything about it. You know, like I said a minute ago, I can understand why some people turn away from the things of God because they don't have any understanding about Him. They've never had any understanding, anything quickened to them to understand. There's some people that can live on Jesus died for your sins on the cross, accept that, and you're saved, and they can live on that for a long time. There's some people that ain't good enough. It wasn't good enough for me. That didn't make sense long enough. Why? Why did he die for me? What did he do to change me? Why am I going to get to go to heaven in the sinful state that I'm in? Don't tell me you're perfect and you're living above sin and think you're going to go to heaven. What's going to change you? What's going to change you from the, like that we're singing about, I'm wretched. I was wretched. And God saved me. I was poor. But, you know, and then even after God says, okay, I'm accepting you as my child, well, you know you're still not righteous altogether. But if you'll keep serving Him, you'll see a change and a growth, won't you? You'll see God's changing you. God's working something in your life. Let's go back and read a little bit more in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity. Charity is love. That word actually means a love. It's a pure love. It's the love of God. And if I don't have it, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you know, I'm just talking, but I'm not genuine. I don't really have the genuine love of God. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. I'll qualify that statement for you. It just means that I have all the faith that it requires for me to move a mountain. It don't mean that you could have all faith about everything, because if you did, you'd have charity. Faith is the Word of God, and it's created by knowledge and wisdom and understanding and wisdom. And so you've got to get the intent here of what's being said. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Now, you need to qualify that. There's some profit in giving to the poor. There's some profit in feeding the poor. But it's not going to profit you for salvation if you do those good things and you don't have really the love of God working in your life. And so, you know, we got to get past the place to where I'm feeding my ego. I'm doing what makes me feel good. Somewhere that makes us feel good is pleasing God, knowing that He favors us because we're following His instructions. We're being led by the Spirit. I read that scripture in Romans 8:13 this morning. You mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. So it takes God. And then the next verse said, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So for you to be led of God, you know, it's going to take God helping you to destroy this self-egotistic fallen nature that, you know, is always trying to edify self. But somewhere we got to grow to a place where we recognize the worth of God that He's building in us, but we don't recognize it higher than what it is, and we recognize where it came from. We recognize God is the one that is, it's His work. We're His workmanship. We're what God is building. We're His creature. And He's creating and developing this righteousness in my character that's going to make me like Him. I've often said that, you know, my son, Michael's not here today, but I've often said, if I could have raised him, if I had the wisdom that God had, and I had the power to do everything and known how to do it, I could have made him like Jesus. But I didn't have the wisdom to do it. God had the wisdom. He knew how to raise Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is a good manifestation of how good a Father God, the eternal God in heaven, is. He raised him. He watched over him. But he didn't make him. He didn't make him. He didn't force him to be righteous. He gave him. He sent him here in the form of human, in human form. He was tempted. He took on, he didn't take on the nature of angels, but he took on a nature like you and I are, like the first Adam. Only I say he didn't even have the advantage that first Adam had, because he came in a corrupt environment. But God watched over him. His angels ministered to him. And God did everything that was necessary for Jesus to overcome the Adamic nature and be made perfect. God did that, but he didn't force perfection on Jesus. Jesus had to accept it. He had to, by faith, he had to want the righteousness and respond to his Father. And you and I will have to do the same thing. If you don't get a vision, what's that song we sing about that? I still have a vision of Jesus. How's that go? I still believe the truth will be restored in a church just like the first on the day of Pentecost. And greater works than these shall you do, Jesus said, because I go to the Father. Anyway, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 3, and though I have the gift of prophecy, I read that. Verse 4, charity suffers long and is kind. Well, this is my part and your part. We've got to grow in God to a place that will endure. We'll go through the process of suffering. God's will to be done. God, we pray, we petition God. He don't answer our prayers. We still serve him. We accept the fact that we're either not exercising the proper faith, or he's not going to answer our request, our petition. We still believe he's in charge and that he knows what's best, and so we keep serving him. Charity envieth not. And it starts digging down inside you here. Envieth. For me to get to a place, if I really have the love of God in my life, for me to get to a place that I don't want something that's not really mine, I don't really want. And envy, it's got a lot of characteristics of envy. It can be anger, it can be hatred that causes envy. But for me to grow to a place where I want what God is giving me, I'm willing to accept what he's working in my life, and I'm not wanting something you've got. I'm not wanting something that I desire in my own mind to want, but I'm willing to wait on God for him to develop me into a place to where I'll be satisfied with what he gives me. I can be content where I'm at in God. There's a lot of people who don't have very much contentment. They got all kinds of ideologies about what they want in life, and they're striving for it and beating the air to get it. But if God wanted them to have it, they'd have it. And they need just rest. Just calm down. Just rest. And let God bring to you what he wants you to have. And learn to be satisfied with what God, where he has you right now. Quit trying to strive and achieve something that God, he's not helping you in. envy's something all of us, I mean, every bit of this, there's not a one of us that are exempt from it, because it has to do with iniquity. And iniquity is self. It's your own way. When you get to a place that you can lay your way on the altar and accept God's way and let God begin to lead you, you have to learn how to mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. You got to let the Spirit of God help you, lead you, guide you. When things aren't going right, humble back down, fall on the altar, say, God, help me. Help me to know what you're doing in my life, what you're working in my life. Help me to be content with it. Help me to see what you're building in my life. And let me find a place in this place where I am to work in. I guarantee you, you will find a happiness that you don't know. As long as you're trying to be something you're not, you'll never be happy. I had trouble as a little boy. I had trouble all my life. I wanted to be older than what I was. I lied about my age forever. I told my wife. She thought I was, I don't know, how old did I tell you I was? When I was just 17, I told her I was 22. I don't know why I just couldn't. I don't know why I had to think that she needed to think that I was older. But I did tell her. I always wanted to be older. There's something about being older that gave you a little more clout. I wanted to have more clout than what I had. But I can tell you right now, getting older don't give you clout. It took me a long time to learn that, but I finally got it. I'm wanting to go the other way. I tell you something that amazes me. Jesus got plenty of clout at the age of 33 and a half. He had clout with God above all things. But, wouldn't you like to have all this figured out by the time he was 33 and a half? Well, I just want to help you this much. He was 33 and a half years old in the nature of God working in him. Now, some of you's had the Holy Ghost that long, you ought to be perfect by now. No, I'm sorry, it's not true. No, you have to understand God. This has to be done in God's time. Jesus, God just didn't require, I don't think he required Jesus to stay here on this life and suffer any longer than it was necessary for him to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. But anyway, you and I, we're not to envy God, but every one of us have an envious spirit. God's going to have to help you. God's going to help you overcome that. God's going to have to work something in your life to overcome that, to not want something that's not yours. Look, if you're trying to live somewhere that God hadn't put you, you're living on air. You've took a step up in a higher place that will collapse. It will collapse. You can only be who you really are in God, and everything else has got to be done away with. I don't care if you get in a high place. It don't matter who you are. If you get in a higher place than where you belong, you're going to go back down. That's what John the Baptist said. He said, every crooked thing's going to be made straight. Every high thing's going to be made low. He didn't mean high things that are supposed to be high, that are truly righteous. He just meant everything that's puffed up is going to be brought down. And every low thing is going to be brought up. Everyone that truly hits that humble place before God, he will lift you up. He'll elevate you from a corrupt condition, envious spirit. He'll get you over that and lift you up in a higher place in righteousness. Then, of course, this goes right along with it. Charity vaunteth not itself. you won't lift yourself up if you know who you really are. You're not going to be trying to promote yourself. You're really going to be in awe that God's got you where you're at. You're not going to feel worthy of what God's done for you. You're going to be grateful. You're going to be thankful. You're going to rejoice. But you're not going to put yourself forward. You're not going to, you're not going to feel like, like I said this morning, if somebody pushes you back a little bit and you take offense at that, you become a prisoner to that person and you come down on their level if you react. That's right. You come down on the level of your persecutor. If you react and start fighting with that, in your spirit, you're fighting. I use this in Bible study. I'm not going to keep telling y'all everything I say in Bible study because you'll just come to church and won't come to Bible study. And then the people in Bible study have to hear it twice. They get double benefit for the same price, and that's not fair. But I said, a real wise man told me one time when I was bellyaching about some things that I thought that, I was going through that wasn't fair. And he said, Brother Smith, he said, you're going to have to get to a place where you can just brush those things off your shoulder like a little bug. You can't let things like that imprison you. And I told the Bible class, I said, I can't tell you how many times I've just had things happen and I just reached up and did like that. I said, let it go. Let it go. You know, what y'all and me too, we're all dealing with these accusatory spirits, wounded spirits, critical spirits. You know, all the different things that are hindering us. That's why we're in here. That's why you should be in here. Let me tell you what happened to you. If something in here gets to rubbing on you a little bit, like the David's little stones in the spring that made them all smooth stones so he could hit the Goliath with it for whichever one he picked out. It would be an accurate stone because it was a smooth stone. It laid in the water, and the water ran across it and rubbed stone against stone. And that's what's happening to you and I in here. Now, if you try to run from that, the thing about this is your worst enemy will become, really, it's not going to be people out there until God gets ready to speak. And when he gets ready to speak, we're going to have a lot of persecution. But we're going through the process of trying, God working this in our lives in here. And then here's where you're going to have some trouble. Jesus had to overcome what Judas was doing. He was a devil, and Jesus knew it. And he still let him carry the bag of money. He still knew that I got to overcome this. I got to overcome this guy. And you and I, you're going to have people in here that you're going to have to learn how to endure. You're going to have to learn how to be long-suffering with. You're going to have to let it work on you. There's different levels in here. I don't care who you are or where you are. There's an order in here. This band has an order to it. There's new people gets in the band. There can be competition. You can get the guy you're sitting next to, you can try to blow your horn louder than he does and better than he does. You're going to have to get over that. You're going to have to get to a place where you appreciate your brother's ability and you use it as an example to how to grow and learn from. But you don't want to be better than him. If you are, then that's, a gift that God's give you, and you want to share it with others as much as you can and not be vaunting yourself about it. But there's positions in here, there's The same way with them women over there. They're playing in the piano, you know. That's a big problem in some churches. Some women want to be the head piano player. They want to possess that corner over there. They have to learn how to work together. They have to learn how to appreciate one another's gifts and realize that we can't all do everything ourselves by ourselves. We need the variety of what God's given our brother and our sister to work and help us work with. That's a gifted place. You know, God gives people gifts to work in different places in the church. They have to learn how to work in it. There's challenges in that. There's spirits that rub one another. There's misconceptions about each other. There's imaginations that runs through your mind. You got to get all that worked out. The same way in the band. I'll tell you something that's bothering me in this body is I'm starting to see women band leaders. And I'm against it. I don't see any way a woman can lead a band without usurping authority over the men that's in the band. The piano player ain't over the band or over these instrument players. Well, it is. When they're leading song service, but they're not correcting. They're not getting up and telling them how to play this song and telling you, I want you to play it like I'm showing you how to play it. The band's just following the tempo of the song leader, and they're leading the congregation in a song, but they're not correcting these band members and usurping authority over one of the men in the band. That's why if you have band practice and somebody's doing something wrong, you got to correct that. And if it's a man, you're going to have to correct him. That's why I don't think it's a woman's place anymore, and I think it's a man's place to sit over there with them girls. Every man I know in this body that's a song leader is a feminine man. I'm sorry, that's just how it is. No man needs to be over there with women. We've deemed that. Rather, you know, under the law, there were men. There were men in the Levites that were song leaders and that had those jobs. But that's not our order for today. Our order for today is we've got these women, and they do a great job. And God's honored that. But you got to be careful about the order of how it works, because you don't. You know, I'm not against, like, different ones of these men from times when we're worshiping things, we'll pick up a mic and help them. But I'm talking about, I have never had a man song leader. And the Lord will have to change me if I ever do have one. Because I just don't see that's a place for a man to work. I know there's churches that has that in it. But again, every one of those men seem to have a feminine tendency. And I don't think we are to put a man that has a feminine tendency in with feminine women to work with them to keep them more feminine. I think we ought to get them in a masculine environment where they can overcome that. So, you know, I just try to watch things like that, but let's just get back on what I was saying. There's an order, you know, there's an order of how God, everything that God got us doing in here, He's working on all of our lives, and we're having to learn how to work in this order and have the right spirit about it and not let these, you know, it's a trial on our flesh. Now, if you ain't felt the trial since you've been in here, you ain't been here very long. Y'all, I hope y'all are getting tried. I'm going under trials all the time with y'all. Y'all have put me through all kinds of trials. I hope I'm not the only guy in here. If I am, I need to get a mirror and let y'all go home. I just talk to the mirror. And I know better. I know you're human beings too. God's working on your life. Yes. It is a place that, you know, if a woman is in a position, like you're saying, like a choir director, some of the times what we're using is situations where we don't have somebody qualified or somebody that even has a gift. Like right now, Brother McGowan's getting older and Brother Tally's getting older, and we need new band leaders coming up. Well, we're working on Brother Brandon to work with the band. And that's another area. You know, young people come up in this, and they all have new ideas, and they want to do things, but they've got to learn how to come up under the elders and recognize their elders and learn how to work with them right and follow examples. People's got experience. It's hard to take somebody that's not in the band, that don't even know how to play an instrument, that never has played in the band, and then all of a sudden you start having them tell the band members how to do it. Those band members know you don't know what you're talking about. You know, because you don't know how to read music. You don't know how a band ought to be done. You got ideas in your head, but I've sat here for 25 years and played in the band. I know something about how a band has to be put together. But here you're trying to tell me and you ain't never done it. So it takes time to all these things to be worked out in the kingdom of God. It's working in your life too, wherever you are. But I'm sure that's why there's some women song band leaders in the band. But generally, you're not going to have near as much going on in the choir as you are band. But if a woman does need to correct something, she needs to get help from the pastor. A woman can work under the covering of a pastor or a man. If a woman works right, she can work and do certain jobs, but she needs to be under a covering, and she can't overstep her boundaries. So she may need a man. Where'd Sister Holly go? There you are. I thought she asked a question and left. She didn't want to answer. No, but it is a place. I'm sure if you'd talk to her on a more personal level, you'd find out that she has, there's times that she would like to say more maybe to some of the men that she don't feel like she ought to say some of the things that she'd feel more comfortable say to women. We just don't always have, the talents to handle every place, and sometimes we do compromise them to an extent, but most of the time I think that it's easier for a woman to instruct a band to sing, I mean a choir to sing a song, than it is a band, because you've been in the band and you know how things happen in a band when you have practice and everything. People need corrected at times. There's things that happen that need corrected. And people's spirits can, get involved. I don't think that's so much when you're, in a choir. But if it did become a problem, I think it need to be dealt with. But it's a valid point that, a person does have to be careful to stay within the realm of their calling and their sexuality or position of character. Give me not charity, not self. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seem like all these things pretty well run together. Because one of them, they're so tied closely together, but you can identify them better individually. Seeks not her own. That, again, you could tie envy to that really close, or covetousness. Is not easily provoked. How easy is it to provoke you? How much on edge are you? How easy is it for somebody to do something or say something, or for you to just get an idea that they're insinuating something? That you can be provoked or stirred up very easily. If you are, you need to get God to help you with it. Thinketh no evil. That's a hard one. Where I'm not thinking. My thinking's, I've got my thinking under control. We're coming into one here in a few minutes that says you bear all things and believe all things. That's some other hard ones. In fact, I don't like to read this very often because I get mad at myself when I do. Much less tell y'all about it. Because I look at it and I think, God, how am I going to make it? Sister McGowan, I hope you're hearing me down there. You know, because I get aggravated sometimes that I see some of these things in my life and I want charity. I want God's love. Well, the only way I'm going to get it is stay in here and say, God, help me. Now, let me tell you how I get to feeling. Here's how I get to feeling. When y'all get to bothering me too bad, I get to thinking, I need to go visit another church or do something. Get out away from here. I'm not so sure that's not a good idea once in a while just to have a break. But I don't want to run from my pressure. I don't want to, just not face it. I don't want to not face myself in these things. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That brings another thing out about iniquity. Is iniquity's our way. It's not God's way. And so it's always corrupted with something false, some false idea. It has to do with our way and God's way and us wanting our way. I want to do my will. I want this to be the way I want it to be. Beareth all things. That don't mean, of course, charity, love, it will bear all things. But while this is being worked in you, at least hold steady. Keep your place in the house of God. No matter what you're going through, hold on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Believeth all things. In other words, I'm not going to just jump to conclusions. And I'm going to try to accept what you're telling me and think that, maybe I'm hearing you wrong or I didn't get it exactly right. Or, I'm going to have to know for sure before I'll accept the fact that that somebody's lied to me or misled me or tried to lead me with a wrong motive or wrong idea. I'm telling you, I could do better if it wasn't for people. Now, that's a facetious statement, but I just said it to make a point. Do you ever just feel like you just want to just go off somewhere by myself and check out of this deal? But I need you, and I know I do. I need you because you're showing me what's down inside of me that I need fixed. But there is, but look, let me tell you the good things. There's some good about this. God comes in here and touches us and blesses us and lifts us up, and you can look back. You can go look on the wall and say, praise God, look at the marks. I am growing. I love sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, and I used to couldn't stand them. Oh, God. Yeah. know, I remember, I'm not going to call his name again, but I do remember when a man who was bald-headed, you know, grew his hair out so long, wrapped it around his head so he looked like he had hair. He didn't really have any, but he just couldn't accept the bald-headedness. And that ground on me. I thought, what is wrong with this guy? This guy's supposed to be a leader. Why don't he do something with that mop on his head? He's got hair that long, it's just wound around, made it look like it's growing out of other places. But that bothered me. It ground on me. I wasn't bearing all things. I wasn't bearing it at all. You did all you had to do is ask me. But did you know, over a period of years, God tenderized me about all those kind of things? And that man asked me one time, what should I do about my hair? I said, keep it. I said, keep it just like it is. And I meant this, and I know it offended him after I said it, but I didn't mean to offend him when I said it. But I said, brother, you don't know how that ground on me for years. And I said, but you know God has done something in my heart, in my life, that's made you, me, love you, hair and all. Your ever strand you got wound up there. I love you. And you worked something in my heart. God helped me to love something that I didn't like. I don't care. You know, I don't have to look into why and all of that. I just love you. You know, that if you cut it, it's between you and God. You know, I don't have no jurisdiction over you. You know, if you was my boy, we might sit down and talk. But you're my elder, so just keep your head on top of your head. I mean, your hair on top of your head. Yes. Well, anyway, I'm just trying to show you that God can work something in your heart, in your life. I genuinely meant it when I said that. I just meant there's something happened to me. God has worked something in my heart. And I meant it. It didn't grind on me anymore. And there's things today, I've told my wife, I said, there's things that used to grind on me about saints that don't grind on me like it used to. Sometimes I find it amusing to watch y'all grind on one another when it's not grinding on me. You know, I mean, I see what y'all are going through and I understand what you're going through, but it don't grind on me anymore. Some of the things that grinds on some of you, I'm not saying you're not on, I'm above you all. There's other people that feels the same way I'm saying. But I understand, you know, I understand now. It's just God can get you in a place where he's mellowed you out and he's worked some things in your heart and helped you to get to a place where, and I'm sure, you know, some of it, you know, I'm sure comes, some of it comes with age. You're that way in life too. There's things in life don't bother you as much as they did when you was younger. But I'm talking about a righteous mellowing. I'm not just talking about, you know, I'm just getting old where I don't want to mess with it anymore. I'm just turning my head. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I genuinely can love something that I used to have problems with, and I can understand while it's not in the place that I know God wants it to be. It's just going to take some time. It hopeth all things. Can you hope that I'll make it? If you see a fault in me, can you just hope that? Can you have hope for me? Not beat me up, run me down, cast me down. But there's a hope. You can see there's something working. There's a reason for hope. Endureth all things. God in heaven, help me to do that. Charity never faileth. So there's a place to, you know, there's your mark. Put your mark on the wall. Back up to the wall and put your mark there. And watch. Just keep serving God, and I'll guarantee you your mark will move up. God's going to help you grow. He's going to help you develop. There's a place in God that He's developing in all of us. And we may not be all on the same plane, but what's amazing to me about some of these things is that God may have been working on me for a lot of years, and then here's a young one God's working on, and there may be a few areas that they're already making passing grades where I'm failing in. You know, I should be an example. I should be overall, but sometimes God will let you see there you got a little brother, a little sister that's got something that you need, and that He's worked something in their lives, unique. Thank you. That's the word I needed. We're all unique in our own way, and God knows what we need and how to work with us in our uniqueness. Praise God. All right, let's sing a song, see if we can't get some of this swallowed, you know, feel good about before we go downstairs and eat. It's about time to eat, I think so. Anyway, I just want you to know I appreciate all of you. Stay in here, even if you don't think you need to, because I need you. I need you, every one of you. Amen. Y'all want to just stand up? I know you're tired of sitting. I'll stand up a little while longer, will you?
Have a heart that's pure, a spirit just like yours, and faith that will endure. That's my desire.
for the food here today, and thank God for the service and the message we heard here. Good to have Sister Tiffany's mom here with us today. We want to thank God for Sister June and her new husband and him being with us today. Y'all going to stay and eat with us? Okay. All right. So let's thank God for this day, and let's pray for our food. And remember the needs that we prayed for earlier. Let's keep praying for God's people and requests that's been mentioned that, God can touch. And we want to always have our hearts open to God and asking him, to help each one and have that. I like to have a burden in my heart for God's people, to be, not just empty words, but just really have a burden to see that God's people. I think we should let God know, that we care, Lord, and we care. So anyway, let's thank God for this day. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, oh God. Thank you for the words we heard this day. Pray, oh Lord, that you help us. Help each one, Lord, each of us. Bless our food today as well, Lord. We thank you. We want to lift you up, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Blessed be your holy name.